Blog Talk Radio.
West, God. We're coming as pilgrims and through this barren land.
Father God, we know that this place is not our home. This is just a temporary holdover, God. For you have prepared for those that are living according to your word, according to your will, and according to your command, a mansion lying in wait. And Father God, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a ring of words to those that may or may not know of you in the parts of their sins. I'm asking you, O gracious Heavenly Father, grace me your servant with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' marvelous, matchless name. And we all as a unity, joining men and women of God, we shall say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I sermon on tonight, entitled, The Families of God. I'd like to know how many out there in my podcast listening audience on tonight are families of God. And it don't take a whole lot of people to be a family of God, because you might have lost some members along the way. A long life journey. You might have lost your mother. You might have lost your father. You might have lost your grandparents. You even might have lost a son or daughter. You might have lost your whole entire family. And maybe you are the only one in your family that's living the life of Christ. Well, I want to encourage your heart tonight. You are that family of God. May it be singular or plural, you are considered a family of God. You are in the unity of God. If you're living a righteous sanctification lifestyle before God and man every day of your natural human life, then you are considered a family of God. There may be some that God has been so gracious to you to maybe you have not lost a relative yet. And you might say, well, Pastor Warren, I know God. I have an uncle or an aunt that's in ministry or in missionary, you know, field. Whatever the case might be, you are a family of God. Hallelujah. And so that is what we're talking about tonight. And we come to the realization that the family is the oldest human institution and the genesis of interaction between persons. And the health of our communities and our nations is a reflection of the health of the family. But we find out that in the last half of the 20th century, an increasing number of families has become dysfunctional and broken, which have resulted in dysfunctional and broken communities and nations as well. We know that the failure is the result of putting the cart before the horse. For families have been looking in the wrong direction for guidance. The Bible tells us its best source of guidance and wisdom for families' life is in the law of Deuteronomy 6:6-8. God instructs the father, who is the head of the family, to memorize the law of God and to teach them to his children. Then we go down to the law of Proverbs. We find it to be a gold mine of wisdom for families living in the New Testament. Then we can go into the law of Ephesians 5 and 25 through 6 and 4. Hallelujah. It offers a wealth of wisdom. And we are told that a husband should love his wife as Christ also loved the church. And the children are admonished to obey their parents in the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that the parents are told to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We found out that the health of our individual families is a reflection of the health of the family of God. Hallelujah. We look down in Hebrews. We find out that it has a wealth of guidance of how we interact with God's family. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we can let brotherly love continue as we entertain strangers. And our marriage is honorable in the eyesight of God. And it can be content with such things as ye have. We can find that in the law of Hebrews 13 and 1 through 5. And also we can find out that the law of Hebrews closes with encouragement for our families and for the family of God. Now that the God of peace made you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Verse 20 through 21. We find out that God's way is the best way for families and for the family of God to live. And if we pay attention to God's command and follow them, our families will be healthier families, the family of God will be healthier, and our communities and our nation will be a better place in which to live. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that when we are moved, hallelujah, by the word of God, we can live victoriously in God if we stay anchored in his word and live according to his commands. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. So if we are not committing those laws, we are living according to God's command. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We find out if you love your neighbor don't have to be next door. Your neighbor don't have to be across the street. Your neighbor don't have to be around the corner. Your neighbor don't have to be across town. Your neighbor don't have to be in the next city. But the neighbor that I am talking about is the neighbor that you meet and greet along the way on your daily walk with God. Hallelujah. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we know if you love yourself, you're going to treat yourself right. You're not going to cause any bodily harm to yourself. If you love yourself and your body is the temple in which the Holy Ghost dwells in, your body is the temple of God. And God's word says that God cannot and will not live in an unclean temple. So we know that we have to keep this temple, this spiritual temple of ours, this heart of ours. We have to keep it holy. We have to keep it rid of all ungodliness and filth and contaminated sin that we bring about when we go against God's command. Hallelujah. And we know that the work of God in our lives is similar. He's not interested in merely changing our spiritual appearance. Instead, we know that God, hallelujah, is interested in replacing our character with what is called the new man and made in the image of Christ. We go into the law of Ephesians 4 and 24. We know that the flesh has a tendency to perform religious activities, but this is not the work of the Holy Spirit. He will completely transform you and I on the inside as well as the outside. Philippians 2:12-13. And as we daily lay aside our old behaviors and replace them with godly ones, the God of grace working you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, whichever one you want to use, is still the same thing. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It is the same. One of the same. Hallelujah. And we know that when you go to talking about living a family life of God, a lot of us is not truly committed. We're not anchored. We're not grounded to where we are sold out for God. And when you are a family of God, you are sold out. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. God hung, he bled and died on Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago for your sins and my sins. We are bought with a price. So that means that we are not of our own, but God has ownership in us. God has an investment in us. God has interest in us. Until the point of death, God was willing to go to Calvary Cross. Hallelujah. They hung God high. And the word of God said that they spread him wide. And God's word said that God died. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. The Bible tells us that God died, hallelujah, Jesus, until the sun refused to shine. So it was complete darkness upon the earth. But God loved you and I unconditionally. God didn't charge us one dime. God did not charge us one iota to go to Calvary Cross. But I would like to set the record straight. God didn't get no kick out of going to Calvary Cross. But he said these words. He said, it is not my will that I go and die. Hallelujah. But God, Jesus, being the obedient son that he is and that he was and that he is right now and that he is to come, in that right, that he said he is an obedient son of God. He said, it's not my will, but it's the will of my Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. And God went on Calvary Cross to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And so those of you that are listening in my podcast audience on tonight, I want to encourage your heart today, tonight, this evening, wherever you're listening, over this planet, it might be night in your area. It might be day in your area, part of the world. But I want to encourage you tonight, those of you that are the family of God, I encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep your hand to the plow and don't down let go. No matter what obstacles come your way, no matter what trial or tribulation might come up in our lives, because God's word is certain. And it tells us that we will go through trials and many tribulations in this life. But God promises to deliver us not through a part of our trials, not through a little bit of our trials, but he said he would deliver us and bring us through them all. Hallelujah. So you can take courage into knowing that God is with you every step of the way. God said, I will not leave you. I will not desert you. But I will be with you. And you know how long that he declared to be with you and I? He said he would be with us until the end of the earth. So you got that assurance that you are never alone in your family life of God. You are considered a family of God. You're living right. And we're doing what God has commanded us to do. We are in the family of God. Hallelujah. And we know that in this day and time in which we live, there are laws being changed every day that we cut on the radio, that we cut on our television, that we just interact in the internet. And so we know every day they're setting in place a new set of laws for you and I, a guideline for us to go by. God has that same set of laws. We have a set of Christian laws that God has set forth for you and I. And if we are intended to see Jesus face one of these old days, then you and I are going to have to, we're going to have to obey every single command that God has set forth in his word. We're going to have to put all malice and hatred and strife aside. If you have any malice in your heart, you need to get rid of it tonight when you go down on your bending knees and pray. And it may be so, some of you that say, Pastor Warren, I can't get on my knees. You might have an amputated leg. You might be bound to a bed. But whatever your circumstances might be, God can hear your prayer if you're sitting up or standing up. You don't have just a mandatory position in which we can pray, because God knows that. God knows all of us cannot get down on our bended knees as bad as we may want to. Some of us is not in the health position to get down on these old knees. So God can look. God got an infrared eye to look into yours and mine's heart. And God knows the heart of man and the heart of woman. And so when we pray, God said, those who worship me in sincerity. So we got to worship God in sincerity. We got to worship God in truth. So that means we can't go down in prayer lying to God. We got to go down on these bended knees in truth of what we're telling God and what we want God to do in our lives and what work that we want to do for God, because, you know, saints of God, and I'm talking about the family of God on tonight, so I will call you the family of God. So I'm talking to you that are out there in my podcast, listening audience on tonight. I refer you as a family of God, disciples, journeymen, journey women. On tonight, I don't care how hard life might get out here in this old world, because we know that this world is not our home. This is just a temporary holdover for you and I. We might have suffered down here, but one of these old days, we won't have to cry no more. When we get the glory, you and I, as family of God, we would have lived that way, the last tear from our eyes. We won't have to suffer those heartaches and pains no more. That arthritis that have you all crippled up, and that cancer that has taken you from being healthy, that's been, you know, just on the verge of giving up. But I want to encourage you. The cancer might have you, but you don't have to have the cancer, because we know that God's word says, by his 39 stripes, families of God, we are healed. 39 stripes was with the cross Jesus back, and he paid the penalty by healing as well. So there was healing in his 39 stripes, because he said, by my stripes you are healed. So if you got the faith of a mustard seed on tonight, you can send that castle off, run it back to the pit of hell, and we is Cain. You can send that tuberculosis back to the pit of hell, which is Cain. You can send that drug addiction back to the pit of hell, which is Cain. You can send your alcoholic beverages back into the pit of hell, which is Cain. You can send that prostitution ring that you've been running back to the pit of hell, which is Cain. God is a God that he can take whatever addiction that we are bound by. He can take it away. He can take the desire away and put in us and create in us a clean heart so we can be called the families of God. I want to encourage you to keep your hand in God's hand. No matter how hard it gets, you just stay on these old bended knees. And my Bible declares that the prayer of a righteous one availeth much. Hallelujah. And so we know, hallelujah, that most Christians would prefer to see God perform mighty miracles rather than to have fellowship with him. We know that. And we know that, excuse me, we know in today's text say that God made known his mighty acts to the people of Israel, but to Moses he made known his ways. That's in the law of Exodus 33. And it records a great crisis. And that's what I'm talking about. You might encounter crisis in your life, as we will, as being here on planet Earth. And we know that Moses was humbly, and he humbly prayed that if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. He wants to know God and his plan for his people. More than to see another mighty miracle, you should want to see what you can do for God and how you can be a great asset in God's kingdom mission work. That's what we need to be concerned about. Not all about what God can do for us, but rather what we can do for God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if you desire to know God personally, I would encourage you more than to long to see his mighty miracles is to know God not only in seeing his works, but also in learning his ways so you too can be called the families of God. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk, if you have a prayer petition you would like the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. The station is Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old Triple Zion. You can make that attention to Senior Pastor Janice Ward at P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Until we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God as God go in you. God bless you, the families of God all around the world. God bless you all tonight. Bye for now.